In chapter 13 of the novel David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, we find David as he gets into bed praying never to be homeless again and asking that he should never forget the homeless. In fact, Charles Dickens found himself homeless at the age of 12 when his father was put into debtor's prison. But Dickens did not only write about the homeless in his novels, he wrote about them in his voluminous journalism as well. And he actually worked with the homeless. For about 12 years, from 1846 on, he planned, set into motion, supervised, and virtually ran from day to day a home for homeless women. He did so with money supplied by Angela Burdett Coutts, an immensely wealthy heiress. And the chief documents of his activities are the more than 500 surviving letters that Dickens wrote to Burdett Coutts. They reveal Dickens to be extremely practical, realistic, knowing, and shrewd, as well as decent-minded and fair in his dealings with a variety of homeless young women who came to stay at Urania Cottage. That we learn from Stephen Marcus in his essay, Homelessness and Dickens. Meanwhile, Dickens tells the story of one of the residents of the Home for Homeless Women, who had been, before she arrived, apprenticed to a small artificial flower maker. The 18-year-old apparently had a keen eye and great dexterity with her hands, so much so that she was able to develop her ability to create such flowers and develop this craft into a way of earning a living, and she was able to leave the home for the homeless after a year. This we learn from the study Charles Dickens and Travellers by John Pateman. And all this gives special meaning to a celebration of Charles Dickens this weekend, hosted by the Wyoming Valley Art League in Wilkes-Barre, a complete reading of A Christmas Carol as part of the Sunday at the Circle series there. The event will be presented as a special benefit for the Art League's Community Outreach Program, which is a partnership with Ruth's Place, the only emergency shelter for homeless women in Luzerne County, and with the McGlynn Center, working with children. Robert Anderson, writer and co-producer of the Sunday at the Circle series with Rose Wright, his wife, Patricia Lacey, artist and Wyoming Valley Art League board member, and Jackie Tona, director of Ruth's Place, paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about A Christmas Carol, and they began with the effort to find a permanent home for the Wyoming Valley Art League itself. Patricia Lacey.
When we were looking for a home, a realtor called our president and said, "You really must see this building." So we had been to many different buildings and we were a little discouraged. But when we walked into this building that we occupy right now, that is our home, we were like children on Christmas morning. We were like giddy. Could we do this? Do you think it's possible that we could own this building? So through an endowment, the Edith Reynolds Endowment, we had some money there that we were able to put a down payment on the building. And also the banks in the area were very, very supportive of us. So it was a perfect storm for the people who were involved. And we purchased the building and we have a home. And our home now is not only for the Wyoming Valley Art League members. Make no mistake, it's for the community.
And it is distinctive as a building.
It's magnificent. I swear, there are spirits in that building because when you go in there, you feel happy. You don't feel bedraggled or anything like that. You just feel really happy.
And part of the mission then of the Art League in this new home is not only to offer exhibitions, but classes and events to bring the community.
Outreaching, like to Ruth's Place and to the community. Our mission really is to not only encourage artists, but performing arts. And we would like to see the center where we are in Wilkes-Barre to become the future arts district. And we are really striving for that. And we hope to get more community, businesses, and leaders involved.
And one of those outreach activities is a monthly series curated by Robert, you, and Rose, Sundays at the Circle.
Celebration. Celebration. Seeing theater, seeing the performing arts as a way of celebrating life, celebrating the community, going back to to the roots of performing arts in Greece, for instance, when theater was done in festivals. And to me, every month, every Sunday at the Circle is a mini festival where we organize some kind of performance. It might be that we are actually doing the performing, or it might be an outside group, but a place where people can come and where people have been coming and feeling that they are part of a celebration, a festival, a party, which has this event at its core. But also it's a social event too, because beforehand and during intermission and afterwards we have food and drink and people are there talking to each other and having a good time. Having a good time, we hope, watching the performance, whatever it might be. And I think so far that's been the rule, and we've got some varied events coming up. For me, the core or of most interest to me is the theater. And A Christmas Carol kind of falls into that. It is a performance event, although it's not a stage. And that's what we are very happy about doing, because I think so few people really know the complete text of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And it is a wonderful story. Of course, it's been made into wonderful movies and wonderful stage productions. But we're not doing that. We are presenting the entire text, and Charles Dickens did such a wonderful job in his writing. And it's ironic or appropriate that we are doing a reading of the complete text, because when you read the book, it's like having Charles Dickens read it to you. It just draws, the text draws you in, and that's what we hope to do, and not have some staid reading of a classic text, but a very, very lively reading. And we have some very special guests who comprise our, we have about 17 different readers, which is quite a few, including some well-known celebrities, guest readers, Tony Brooks and Patricia Lacey, who spoke just now so eloquently, will speak very eloquently when she reads her part of A Christmas Carol.
What memories does A Christmas Carol have for you? Was it always part of your holidays, Patricia?
In some ways it was, but I really like the dankness about it, the dark side of it. I know in the end there's redemption and that kind of thing, but I really love the process that Scrooge, he goes through this process, and it's dark and it's humiliating, and he remembers his Christmases. That's the part I really, really get into. And Marley had to come to him and show him that, you know, your life is dark and you need to light up. Had Marley not appeared to Scrooge, he would have died an embittered, just callous old man, really, when you think of it. The ghost really came to his rescue. It's a thought.
Do you know what segment you're going to be reading?
I do. It's in the beginning for all my fans out there. Come in the beginning! I am reading the beginning part where he goes home and he comes to his door knocker and he sees Marley's apparition in the door knocker. And he's been there every day, and he shakes his head, and then he goes inside. He tries not to be unsettled by it, but he is. And he starts looking under things. Where? Ah, bah, humbug. And then the plot thickens. The bell rings, and all of a sudden, someone enters the room, and that's when I stop.
But again, it's what you love.
I love that part. It's the best.
You know, Erica, Charles Dickens loved reading his own works. He would go on tours, and he was a real theater person in that sense. He loved getting up in front of an audience and reading his works. And I think we're going to have that spirit. We're going to have that same spirit as we read our works. But not only that, I believe we're going to have Dickens actually with us. I've had several dreams lately, and the ghost of Charles Dickens has appeared to me in these dreams, and he has told me that he is going to be there.
Oh, and I better wear lips.
Charles Dickens isn't your only partner. You've been working together, the Wyoming Valley Art League and Ruth's Place. Tell us about Ruth's Place, Jackie.
Ruth's Place is the only emergency shelter for women experiencing homelessness in Luzerne County. We serve between 250 and 300 women a year, and that's just Luzerne County. I think a lot of us are a bit sheltered, and we're not aware of the problem, you know, with women experiencing homelessness. I explain to most staff and people when they ask, when a woman walks through our door, she doesn't have a friend who would even let her stay on the floor. That's where she's at when she walks in our door. But when they come in, we've created a community. And with help from the Wyoming Valley Art League and from Robert, they've been so involved with the shelter. We have artwork hanging on the walls from Robert. It's beautiful. It makes it feel homey. The Wyoming Valley Art League comes in once a week. They bring the supplies. They come in and volunteer their time. And they teach a skill. And I notice when I come in the morning, if I'm not there for the class, the women are so excited. Look what I made. I learned how to do shadowing. And that's a great skill, you know, to be able to pick something up like that, be able to express yourself a bit with art, to really feel something positive in such a negative time in your life. It's been a wonderful partnership. We appreciate everything that they do for us. And we hope that we can stay together for a long, long time.
Jackie, I have heard that you might be bringing artwork from these art classes to the reading so that that artwork will be on display. Is that true?
Yes. We did speak with the women. We do have a lot of the artwork still there. We're hoping to get it all together and bring it up for the event. We'll be able to display it. It's beautiful, beautiful work. Know that when you're looking at each piece, that a piece of a woman's heart is there. And it was a therapeutic hour or two. You know, after you spend the day looking for a job, you know, looking for a home, getting an appointment somewhere with supportive services, and then to come back and have someone excited to show you something and then give you something tangible, maybe like your first art piece for your new apartment. That's a wonderful thing to fill a wall and know that the story behind it. You know, a year from now when she looks back and that was a hard time in my life, but I made this and look where I am now. It's going to be a great show. We're excited. All the staff is going. A lot of the Volunteers of America staff is really excited to go. We're all very aware of all the positive things that the Art League has done for not only us, but the community in a positive light.
Thank you very much for saying that.
Comes right from the heart and from the hearts of all the women at the shelter. Some people may think, oh, what kind of difference can that really make? I see it. The staff sees it. The ladies, they're excited. Let's hang it on the wall. I made this. You know, it's beautiful. This is what it means to me. It brings not only something out in the women, but it brings them together. Women, historically, and men, when their hands are kind of busy and you're really focused on a skill, that's when there's good conversation. They start speaking about maybe their past and maybe experiences with art, where they really just start sharing their story, just their heart and maybe, you know, their dark times right now. It's just a good opportunity to have a positive interaction. The women come back for the art classes. Even when they leave the shelter, it's hands down one of the most favorite classes. I'm not exaggerating when I say that the next morning the women are, look what I did, I can't believe I did this. Because it's amazing. I'm not very artsy, but if I made something like that, I'd be hanging that in my office too. They come back, they exit, they get their apartment, have a job, and when is the Art League coming back next week? Can I come? Absolutely. It's something they've taken with them. The women, they leave, they're successful, they have a place, they come back, and then a new woman maybe came in that morning. And she sees this woman who has her own apartment, but she came back to the shelter just for an activity. And it gives that woman a chance to look at her and say, oh, you were here, and I can do it. And this is something. You make friends, you make bonds. It comes back to when they walked in the shelter. They had not a friend. And when they leave, they have friends. They have the Art League, and their life is better.
If I can just say thank you to one of our Art League members, Bonnie Kovaleski, who has been the instructor at Ruth's Place. So I just want to say thank you to Bonnie.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie. Hopefully she knows she makes a huge impact and a difference. It's not just an hour or two once a week. It's beyond that.
Erica, could I mention a couple of other names, guest readers?
Yes.
Ron Cross, former Broadway actor and present Art League member, will be there. And Bernardine Voitko and son Jonathan Voitko will also be reading. I call them the Flying Voitkos. And a famous illustrator, Ted Michalowski, who has a very strong voice, will also be reading. And we're going to have music, too. Jason Smeltzer will be playing ghost music on his theremin, and what better instrument to play ghost music on? Plus, he looks like a ghost. The reading begins at 4 o'clock. Now, when we lived in Massachusetts, we used to do this live on the radio, and it lasted between 3 and 3.5 hours. Now, that doesn't mean that you should get there and expect to have to sit there for the whole time. You can come and go, get up, walk around, have something to eat. We will have food and drink and these wonderful cookies that the members are going to bring, thanks to Patricia Lacey, who is a great baker herself. So we'll see how it goes. And if you want to go outside or do something for a while, come back, enjoy the reading, or just come for a part of it and leave. And like all Sunday at the Circles, it is a free event. However, we are asking graciously that people who do come donate toward the cause being this wonderful collaboration with Ruth's Place and the Art League.
Robert Anderson, writer and co-producer of the Sunday at the Circle series with Rose Wright, his wife, Patricia Lacey, artist and Wyoming Valley Art League board member, and Jackie Tona, director of Ruth's Place, speaking with us in anticipation of the second annual reading of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol to benefit the Wyoming Valley Art League Community Outreach Program, hosting art classes at Ruth's Place, Luzerne County's only emergency shelter for homeless women, and summer classes for the McGlynn Center, children from the Boulevard Townhomes and Mineral Springs Village. Readers include Tony Brooks, Ron Cross, Bob Stanley, Ted Michalowski, Alicia Nordstrom, Bernardine Voitko, Jonathan Voitko, and many others. Robert Anderson himself. And it's this Sunday, November 27th at 4 in the afternoon at the Wyoming Valley Art League, the Circle Center for the Arts, 130 South Franklin Street. It's in the rear. It's in the middle of the block, inside the block. For more information on the web, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org. Admission is free, but they'd love a donation. If you could, food and drink will be provided. There is free parking. It is the second annual reading of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, Sunday at the Circle, benefiting the Wyoming Valley Art League Community Outreach Program. And it's Sunday, November 27th at 4 in the afternoon at the Circle Center for the Arts, Wyoming Valley Art League, 130 South Franklin Street rear, in downtown Wilkes-Barre. The event is a partnership with Ruth's Place, Luzerne County's only emergency shelter for homeless women in Luzerne County, the only one, and the McGlynn Center, a safe and welcoming place for the children and youth who reside at the Boulevard Townhomes and Mineral Springs Village, committed to service and education, serving vulnerable children of Wilkes-Barre since 1988. For more information on the web, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org.